Manx Radio Sport.
Three minutes past five here on Manx Radio AM, and this is Manx Radio Sports Classifieds. Thank you for joining us. Lots to bring you in the next hour. We'll have all the football analysis, rugby analysis, hockey analysis, and team news from FC Alamann's game at the Bowl, 6 o'clock kickoff. Tony Meppen will join us, as always, to talk all things football. Dave Christian to talk all things rugby. And I will give you everything to do with the hockey. But, as always, we are going to give you the classified results. And we are going to start in Manx football and in Canada Life Men's Premier League. Union Mills 1, Russian United 1. Braddon 4, Ayr United 4. Foxdale against Ramsey, match postponed. Peel 2, St Mary's 1. Douglas High School and Old Boys against St John's, match postponed. Laxey against Onchan, match postponed. Arden and Druggan Division 2. Malou against Colby, match postponed. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 3, Castletown 3. Governors Athletic against Paul Rose, match postponed. Douglas and District 0, St George's 2. Canada Life Combination 1. Russian United against Union Mills, match postponed. Ayr United 4, Braddon 3. Ramsey 8, Foxdale 0. St Mary's 2, Peel 3. St John's United against Douglas High School and Old Boys, match postponed. Onchan against Laxey, match postponed. Arden and Druggan Combination 2. Colby 1, Malou 1. Castletown 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4. Paul Rose United 4, Governors Athletic 2. St George's 2, Douglas and District 1. Douglas Athletic against Douglas Royal, match postponed. Round 2, Michael United 3. In rugby, in Counties 3, ADM, Lancs and Cheshire. Vagabonds 15, Duckingfield 5. In hockey, in the Manx Mixed Cup. Backers A 4, Valkyries A 1. Castletown Celts 9, Vikings B 0. In the Mixed Plate semi-final. Ramsey 1, Backers C 2. Harlequins B 0, Valkyries B 3. In the Mixed Bowl, Valkyries D 1, Vikings D 1, Vikings D winning 3-2 on penalty flicks. Castletown Camags 1, Castletown Cosney 0. In Mixed Division 3, Backers Mixed Books against Backers D, a late result. Mixed Under 15s League, Backers 0, Valkyries 4. Castletown Sabres 1, Harlequins 2. Vikings 6, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 0. So that is your classified results for Saturday the 15th of November. Let's start, as always, with football, and we'll bring in Tony Meppen. Tony, a couple of cancelled games there due to waterlogged pitches, but the weather we've had today and overnight, really credit to the clubs that have managed to get the games going, really.
Exactly, and it just shows you the hard work that's been put in by the ground staff throughout the summer months and obviously the start of the winter as well, because we're getting into it now. You could just feel that chill in the air today, and the rain last night was horrific. I looked out the window at 4 o'clock and I thought, we're not going to have many on today. And, you know, it just shows you that if you do that pitch improvement on your pitch, then it's going to hopefully, you know, put you in good stead. And that's what's happened today. Yes, there is one or two pitches, they're not all the same, that are going to struggle. But hopefully the weather forecast, not too bad tomorrow, okay-ish on Monday. So it should start to dry out. And let's see if we can have a dry weekend next week.
Absolutely. Let's start in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. This is the game that Rob Pritchard was at for us, and this is Union Mills against Russian 1-1.
Yeah, it was a big game this one because certainly for Russian, we'll come to the league tables afterwards. But Union Mills need some points, you know, just get them out of that danger zone at the bottom. But Russian United are going for the Manx Car Store Railway Cup semi-finals. And thanks to Rob, I don't know how he finds the time. He typed it out quicker than I can speak, to be honest with you. But Union Mills started the game bright and took the lead on 14 minutes. Some brilliant team football down the left, culminated in Dominic McCarry Brennan squaring for an unmarked Jack Murray, whose first time slotted the ball into the bottom corner. Union Mills could have had one or two more in the first period, but for Murray and Tyler Hughes, both missing good chances. Into the second half and the momentum began to shift. Whilst there wasn't many clear-cut chances early on, Russian started to knock on the door with 15 minutes to go. Cameron Dudley saw a sensational 13-yard strike crash off the crossbar on the 76 minutes. And just 3 minutes after that, Aaron Hawley saw his effort from 25 yards spectacularly saved by Fred Quilliam. But the 3 minutes of normal time left, the visitors levelled with a steer-riding cross from the left found Matty Lamb from 6 yards out, who headed low and into the back of the net. A chance missed maybe for Russian United in their race for Railway Cup qualification, whilst Union Mills edge a little bit further clearer of the bottom two. Well, we'll come to the qualification shortly, but punch ahead, good point for Union Mills. You know, disappointment a little bit for Russian, because if they got the three there, then it really would have put them in the driving seat.
Absolutely, and just a result which has just come in the hockey in Mixed Division 3. It was Backers Mixed Books 1, Backers D7. Back to football matters though, 8-goal thriller here, Bradham 4, United 4.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant this one, and I think it was Dan Kinraid who started it off for Bradham, and 1-0 it was. Then Sean Kelly equalised from the penalty spot to make it 1-1. Then I'm not too sure how it went, but I heard that Braddon lost a player, so down to 10, but they still kept chipping away. And Dan Kinraid got his second of the game. I think that was a penalty as well. Charlie Knight got one, and Nick Harvey for Sean Kelly. He got another goal to pull it back for Air United. Ben Fox, well done, Ben. I work with Ben, and pretty certain he'll be telling us all about it on Monday. Well done, mate. He got a goal, and Leo Tregurtha got the other one as well. So punch ahead. You know, Air United will be looking at the league table and looking at the Railway Cup just above them, and they're not going to be in it this season, but certainly Braddon, what a massive point that could prove to be at the end of the season, because now Foxdale has played 9-1, we've got Douglas High School Old Boys who played 10-5, and then Braddon with that extra point now have played 12-7, so all nice and tight at the bottom of the table.
I was going to say, that must have been a great game for the neutrals there, watching that 4-4 draw there. Absolutely.
Absolutely humdinger. And, you know, when I look at sort of how it went, and reports just come in, with both teams starting strong, Braddon drew first blood in the 10th minute with a penalty. That even surprised the Braddon supporters. But up steps David Dan Kinraid to glide the ball into the top corner. Then on 28 minutes, Braddon's Matty McNee made an awesome save, but at a cost, because he was shown the red card and they were sent off. So not too bad. And Air got a penalty upstairs, Sean Kelly, to blast in the back of the net to bring Air level. Air then started making that extra man count, and on 40 minutes, Sean Kelly, it was, scored a sublime scissor kick. And so the first half finished with Air going in 2-1 up. Although a man down, Braddon started the second half the stronger and got their just rewards on 57 minutes when Braddon were awarded a free kick and Charlie Knight rose to the header. It's in past Nick Harvey. And then Nick Harvey got he rounded the Air's keeper to make it 3-2 after 61 minutes. And on 76 minutes, Air made a double substitution. And with his first touch of the ball, Ben Fox brought Air level against Braddon, started to push again. And on the 85th minute, Braddon was awarded another penalty. And once again, Dan Kinraid stepped up to put Braddon in the lead. But on 95 minutes, it was Air had that last say with Leo Tregurtha bringing the game back to 4-4. Both teams did really well and deserved a point each.
Foxdale, who you alluded to just before there, Tony, their game against Ramsey was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. So we'll go to the game that you went to, and this was Peel against St Mary's. Peel 2, St Mary's 1.
Yeah, funny game this one, because a lot at stake for Peel. I know they've got games in hand to get qualified for the Railway Cup, but today, you know, the first half was okay-ish by both teams. I think St Mary's probably shaded it, and it was St Mary's who took the lead. Cracking header, good cross in from the left-hand side, and Mark Wolfenden, who could have actually scored 2 or 3 minutes before that. Similar sort of scenario, ball over. He headed this one over the top, but this one he headed down to the floor and over the line. It went to give St Mary's the lead. But then within a minute, minute and a half, Peel had equalised. Lee Gale it was. Good work through that middle. And Lee Gale got the ball. A little bit of pressure on him with the keeper there, but managed to get it past him to make it 1-1. 1-1 it was at half-time. And you just thought to yourself, well, where's this game going to go? Well, it was going St Mary's way, absolutely, in that second period. But St Mary's just couldn't quite get it past the goalkeeper, Owen Dawson, who pulled off 2 or 3 stunning saves. But then the chance came for them. When you see Thomas Brown come off the bench, who's been struggling with injury, and you just thought to yourself, this is going to go towards Peel. He wasn't on long. I think it was near enough his first touch of the game. And a ball from the right-hand side played straight into him. He controlled it really well and sort of set himself up and just struck it well past the goalkeeper's right-hand side. Stood no chance. 2-1 it was to Peel. 2-1 at finish. But credit to St Mary's second half performance. Really good. Deserved something out of the game, but they didn't get it.
I must say, you and Rob did pick two very good games to go to today. I mean, I was listening throughout the afternoon and, yeah, they sounded like thrillers.
Well, it is, because a lot at stake, because, you know, the Manx Coastal Railway Cup is... what a competition everyone wants to be in at Christmas, and it's quite interesting. I don't know how many times I was asked today, what are you going to do now with the Railway Cup semi-finals, because you haven't got the four and there's no rearranged dates. We're going to tinker with the fixtures for next Saturday. We're going to have to. We've already lost the Peel v Ramsey game, and that's for reasons that everyone will be aware of. But, you know, it leaves Peel available, and we need to get Laxey. Now, if you want me to do the sums, Ben, I think I've calculated this right.
Let's put your maths to the test, yeah, then. Come on.
It's giving me a bit of a headache, but we'll get there tonight, and hopefully we'll notify all clubs tonight of what's happening in 7 days' time. But the way it looks at the moment, we've got Corinthians have played 11 for 27. We've got Onkin who've played 11 for 21. We've got Peel who've played 10 for 23. We've got Laxey who've played 9 for 20. We've got Rushen who have played 11 for 20. Now, the way I see it, Rushen have got a rearranged game against St John's, so we need to get that played. Laxey need to play a fixture, whether it's against Onkin, but I've got a funny feeling in the back of my mind that it might be Onkin's free week. I'll check that when I get home. But I think Rushen's the one. They need to try and get something out of St John's. If they did, they would go on 23. And then when you look at sort of Onkin, they need sort of to play that game, I think, against Laxey. And that's a tough old fixture, that one. And whether they can do it, I don't know. But that's the way it stands. It's between Corinthians, Onkin, Peel, Laxey and Rushen. Some of them have already qualified. But the games we need to get out of the way is certainly Onkin and Laxey needs to be played somewhere along the line. And we need to play St John's against Rushen.
And Douglas High School and All Boys against St John's, that was postponed, as well as Laxey against Onkin. They were all both postponed due to waterlogged pitches. Now, Tony, I know there is an announcement you want to make regarding the Railway Cup, and that is a new sponsor for it.
Yeah, it is. And as you know, Ben, you're involved in sport, and getting sponsorship these days is so, so tough. You know, we're looking for a sponsor for the Senior Men's Ireland team to take us to, you know, Ireland Games 27-29. You know, the Railway Cup is one of the most prestigious competitions in Manx football. The trophy, you've seen it, is absolutely amazing. So much detail in it, and it just fits in the football calendar being played on Boxing Day. And unfortunately, our sponsor of last season didn't seem to be available for it. And I'm absolutely delighted. We'll have more information for you next week, but we've got the all clear to mention it. We didn't want to upset new sponsors, did we? But Manx Car Store Railway Cup, it's going to be called. I can't thank you enough, and I'm sure on behalf of all of football, thank you for stepping in, because you know, the money will go to great use in Manx football. But not only that, be proud of sponsoring such a big competition like the Railway Cup.
Let's have a look at Arden and Drugan Division 2 now. There were two league games that went ahead and two that were postponed due to waterlogged pitches. The games postponed were Maloo against Colby and Governors Athletic against Paul Rose. So let's talk about the games that went ahead, and we'll start with a six-goal thriller. Honours even, 3-3. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 3. Castletown 3.
Yeah, this is huge because at lunchtime, Castletown were top of the league, had played 9 for 24 points, and Ramsey Youth Centre had played 9 for 18 points. So it was a game that I thought Ramsey Youth Centre needed to win. But it's not panic stations for them because they've proved their worth. They've sort of come back from 2-1 down at half-time and drawn 3-3. When you look at it, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre were actually 2-0 down, then got it back to 2-2, then they were 3-2 down, then got it back to 3-3. So that's amazing character by Ramsey Youth Centre. Tony Corlett got two. Well done, Tony. And Adrian Scarabuccia got the other one. But for Castletown, well, scoring against your old club is always sweet, but can be upsetting as well. Well done, Ross Crawford. He got one of the Castletown goals. Ollie Lee got the second, and Tom Moore got the third. So looking at that top three position now, in Arden and Drugan Limited Division 2, is Castletown have played 10 for 25. Colby have played 10 for 23, so it's nice and tight. And then Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys have played 10 for 19. So a little bit adrift, but they've still got to play each other because this is the halfway stage of the season now, so they've all got to play everyone all over again, and with cup competition and that. So there's going to be a lot of football in Division 2. But let's just hope that the weather breaks. And don't forget, anyone out there, there has been a letter sent by the Alaman FA to all clubs asking them if they would like a fixture on the 27th of December. They have until Tuesday, I think it is, to let us know. The way it is at the moment, there's quite a lot replied. Not looking favourable, which we can understand because they like some time off. But if you want a game of football and we can match them up, we'll get the game on.
You've got to try things. Absolutely.
Definitely.
What a big result this could be for St George's. Douglaston District nil, St George's 2.
Yeah, and if anyone's got goal scorers out there for the first team and the combi, it'd be handy for St George's. But certainly today, you know, when you look at that league table, Governors just in the middle between St George's and Douglaston District. But Governors, have played 8, but St George's have played 8 with 4 points, so just ahead of them. But D&D have played 12 games now with just 1. But, you know, it's just one of those that you've just got to, you know, go out there and give it your best. And that's what Douglaston District have done today. But St George's have got 3 huge points, and hopefully they can get a bit of confidence from that and climb up the table.
Canada Life Combination 1. Let's look at the postponement games first. It was Rushen United against Union Mills, St John's against Douglas High School and Old Boys, and Onken against Laxey. They were all postponed due to waterlogged pitches. So the first fixture that did go ahead on our list is Ayr United 4, Braddon 3.
Yeah, and Ayr United have, you know, just sort of struggled a little bit for players recently, but they certainly found one jewel in the crown today. Andrew Crow got all 4 goals for Ayr United, so that puts Ayr on 9 points now, so that's a little bit away from the side above them, Douglas High School Old Boys, but they're going in the right direction. But for Braddon, Joe Tia got one, Eddie Thumb, I think it is, got the other one, and Michael Walsh got the other. So, you know, when you look at that real good battle, 7 goals, but the day belongs to Andrew Crow with those 4 goals.
Great day for Ramsey, 8-0 against Foxdale.
Well, it is, because that puts Ramsey now play 10 for 26. So they're moving clear, 5 points clear of Corinthians in the Canada Life Combination 1. Haven't got the goal scores. I've tried to get them, but no one's come back to me. But Ramsey, 3 points and winning 8-0.
And if you have them, score us 166177 on text or WhatsApp, or you can email us here in the studio, and that is studio@manxradio.com. St Mary's 2, Peel 3.
Yeah, and this was going to be close, and Darren Smethers got one for St Mary's. Adam Vick got the other one, so well done, lads. But for Peel, well, Toby Liddell got the first, and Harry Pack, well done, Harry. Nice to see you back on the island. Got the second one, and there's a debate going on with the third. We think we've got it cleared up. Ryan Tate took the shot. It was on target. It took a deflection, but they thought it was on target. So the Stato there, Colin Moore, has assured me that it was a goal, and that will be awarded to Ryan Tate. And what's more interesting, he's a goalkeeper. So it'd be nice to know if he played outfield or in goal. If he played in goal, well, that's something special.
Do we have to get VAR out? Do we already? We get VAR in Manx football?
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of clubs around with these VOs now, so there's plenty of evidence watching the games, and I think it's good.
Arden and Drugan combination two. Just the one game that was postponed in this league, and that was Douglas Athletic against Douglas Royal. That was a waterlogged pitch. Colby against Malou, 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1, and I think there was a player sent off for each team, Colby and Malou in this one. But Connor Thompson got the goal for Colby, not too sure got Malou's goal.
Castletown 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4.
2-0 to Castletown at half-time, so a great turnaround by Ramsey Youth Centre. It was Finn Mulligan who got one for Castletown. Lewis Fletcher got the other one. But for Ramsey Youth Centre, it was Evan Johnson, Pippi Murphy and Ben Harding, and a usual free kick goal by Ray Leach. Now, Ray's pushing my age. Well, not quite that old, but he's a good age.
You're still in your prime.
He's at a good age, and fair play to him. You know, Ray keeps chipping away, and well done, Ray. Always love to see his name on the score sheet. And what a big 3 points that could prove at the end of the season for Ramsey Youth Centre, because I think they're in with a great opportunity of this. They're always sort of chipping away. They've won it a few years back, but, you know, they're keeping the pressure on Douglas Athletic and Paul Rose. And with those sort of 3 points today, it puts them a little bit closer than they were this morning.
Paul Rose United 4, Governors Athletic 2.
Yeah, and good reports coming from this game. You know, Governors were outstanding, evidently, and that's come from Paul Rose. 2-2 at half-time. James Clark got two. Callum Holden got one and Callum Dunn got the other. And I think it was Fabio Capito got one and Acti, I think it is, Johnson. But good performance, Governors. Take a lot from that.
And St George's 2, Douglas and District 1.
Yeah, Geordie's 2-0 up at half-time. Haven't got Geordie's goal scorers, but for Douglas and District, it was Mac Matthews with his second goal of the season. And I think 16 years of age, so well done.
And then final fixture is Moround 2, Michael United 3. Now, I don't know, Tony, have you had the match report that I've just had through here on WhatsApp?
I have, I've got it, and I'll have a look. Hopefully it'll match. Let me have a look there. Yep, here we go. Let's give it a go. Thank you, Michael. 2-2 at half-time, end-to-end game. Moran went 1-0 up after 5 minutes, but Michael went straight up the other end and got a goal back straight away. Game was end-to-end before Michael got the lead with Bobby Baxter. Moran hit back from a long free kick to make it 2-2. Second half, a good battle between both teams. Moran unable to test the Michael goalkeeper, Michael Corlett, and the Michael backline with experienced Kenny Dyack and Rob Farragher. Wow, there's two names from the past. Moran at bay, and the game looked like going to a draw. But with only minutes to go, a ball found Bobby Baxter, whose skill and footwork rounded the keeper and slotted a good finish home to win it for the Greens. And credit to them, credit to Robbie Baxter, because, you know, when you look at what's happened to Michael over the last 2 years with losing a lot of players last year and this year just having one team, they're rebuilding and they will get it right. There's a real strong core of committee members there who won't go, and we've seen Rob Farragher there, Kenny Dyack's another, Michael Corlett. They will make sure that this will happen. But against a top side like Moran, I think that's a fair result. Well done, 3 points.
And one thing to mention as well, Bobby Baxter, 16 years old, winner there. What a moment for him.
Well, it is, and there's quite a few, you know, sort of young players coming through now, which is great to see. And I spoke to Rob last night, and I don't know if you picked up on it, Ben, was I watched probably one of the most outstanding under-18 games I've seen on Wednesday evening. It's a great league, so some really good players in there. And it was Old Boys against Corinthians, and it was brilliant. Old Boys won 2-1, two really good goals by Yates. But, you know, I just thought right the way through, it had everything, excitement, a little bit of tussle bustle. The weather was absolutely horrendous. How anyone played in that, I do not know. But, yeah, it was a big signal that, you know, Manx football and the quality coming through is in a good place.
Absolutely. So that concludes all the Manx football fixtures today here on Ireland. Looking ahead to tonight, FC Alamann against West Didsbury and Chorley. Big game.
It is a big game because, you know, we watched the game last week. We covered it for Manx Radio and it wasn't the best. The problem is quite clear, as I said to to Dan in the commentary was that they haven't got a Sean Doyle, they haven't got an out-and-out goal scorer. So they've all got to chip in here, there and everywhere. And last week it was Adam Adebayo's chance. And tonight, hopefully, you know, someone will come up. I haven't seen the squad, the starting lineup. I know we're going to join Rob in a second. But, you know, it's going to be cold down there. So if you're going down to watch the game, wrap up. But they're a good side to play against West Didsbury and Charlton. And, you know, again, they've had good battles right the way through with them. But credit to Rick Holden. He's sort of really improved the team, the play. He's brought new players in. There's one or two sort of key players who are missing through injury. But I think Alex Maitland's back in tonight, which is a big plus at the back. But then in saying that, the players that have come in have always covered it so well. But, you know, I wish them well. I'm going to listen on the radio. I'm going to stay in the warmth tonight. You know, FC Isle of Man, it'd be great to see them get a win at home before they start playing fixtures away again.
Well, Tony, team news is in. So for now, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
And with the time at 28 minutes past five, let's head on down to the bowl and join Rob Pritchard, who is there. He is indeed. Good evening, Rob. Team News is in for FC Isle of Man's game this evening.
Yes, Fastamai Ben, Fastamai to listeners on Manx Radio AM 1368. Welcome to the Ball Stadium under the floodlights here in Douglas ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division clash between FC Isle of Man and West Didsbury and Charlton. Let's take a look at the teams then. We'll start with FC Isle of Man. They make two changes to the team that suffered that late defeat at the hands of Pilkington here on home soil 7 days ago. Danny Gerrard and Ben Wilkinson, they both drop out. Coming in, Michael Williams and Sam Gelling. Both of those players coming in will start from the bench. The only other change in the starting 11 is two players who were in the squad last week, and that is Luke Booth dropped to the bench with Joe Middleton in from the outset. So your FC Isle of Man starting 11 is as follows. In goal is Mark Blair, and then it's Harry Best, Sam Baines, Carl Clark, Alex Maitland, João Marquez, captain Steve Whitley, Dean Pinnington, Joe Middleton, Adam Adebayi and Charlie Higgins. Substitutes for FC Isle of Man are Michael Williams, Callum Sherry, Sam Gelling, Josh Kane and Luke Booth. For the visitors, West Didsbury and Charlton, they make a couple of changes themselves to the squad that thrashed City of Liverpool by 6-1 at the Step Places Stadium in midweek. Dropping out are Thomas Murray, Callum McGlynn and Latik Roberts, and coming in Jack McConnell and Stephen Yarwood, with McConnell coming straight into the starting 11 and Stephen Yarwood coming in on the bench. Just the four substitutes available for West Didsbury and Charlton. Their starting 11 is as follows. In goal is Oliver Martin, and then it's the captain Chris Rowney, Jack McConnell, Adam Jones, Paul Riley, Sean Mosgrove, Jack Bannister, Harvey Roberts, Lewis Billingsley, Jordan Lazenbury and Brandon Dawson. And the substitutes are Billy Matthews, Caleb Parkinson, Stephen Yarwood and Victor Abadaki. Your referee this evening is Alexander Phillips, and his assistants are Stuart Morris and Matthew Shaw. Well, these two sides are familiar adversaries in the NWCFL Premier, or NWCFL system, should I say. In FC Isle of Man's inaugural season back in 21-22, that is when the sides both first met and both ended up being promoted into the division they now currently reside in. Some cracking games have been taking place between these two teams in the past, and I specifically recall the first meeting between these two at the bowl, an absolute thriller. 7 goals and FC Isle of Man scoring twice deep into second half stoppage time to take all 3 points that evening. On the way to FC Isle of Man being promoted via the playoffs and West Didsbury and Charlton being crowned league champions. Fast forward to now, and the two teams have had very contrasting starts to the season. FC Isle of Man's struggles early on have been well advertised, but as Tony's already mentioned, under the stewardship of Rick Holden, they've started to pick up a few more points. Last week's defeat to Pilkington was their first defeat in six, their longest unbeaten run of the campaign so far. West Didsbury and Charlton, though, well, they come into this in imperious form. They started the weekend just 2 points off the top of the table after that big win over City of Liverpool in midweek. And looking at their recent record throughout the last couple of months, it makes some pretty stark reading. 13 wins from their last 14 in all competitions, and on the road as well, they've won 10 of their 12 games away from home. So they are coming in here with a strong form indeed up against an FC Isle of Man side that once again has a couple of changes, as has been the case for much of the season so far. So with these two sides contrasting I suppose, objectives, if you like. FC Man looking to keep themselves away from the relegation zone, realistically, depending on results elsewhere. If they were to get maximum points against the odds tonight, they could move as many as 8 points clear of the drop zone. West Didsbury and Chorlton looking to keep up the pressure on Ramsbottom United and Padiham just above them towards the top of the table. So FC Man versus West Didsbury and Chorlton kick off at 6 p.m. full live match commentary from myself and Darren Timpson from just before 6.
Rob, thank you very much, and I know you've been out and about this afternoon as well as Tony. I know the weather conditions have been not the best and it's been a bit awful, but how's the atmosphere down there? Is the crowds coming in despite the weather conditions?
Crowds are coming in, I must actually say, this afternoon. So I was based up at Gary Moore for the Canada Life Men's Premier League game between Uni Mills and Rushen United. As Tony will know, and anyone in Manx football will know, Gary Moore, you're very much exposed to the elements out there. If the weather's bad, you certainly know about it. But I must say, actually, from kickoff and throughout the game, the weather did start to improve. The rain had subsided before the game got underway, and the wind had certainly died down from what it was last night, those gale force winds that the Isle of Man experienced. Here at the Bowl, it's even calmer again at the moment. We've not had any signs of rain, but that is very much touch wood. You never know here on the Isle of Man. And certainly no wind swirling about just at the moment. Of course, plenty can change over the course of 90 minutes. But as it stands, it is a little bit chilly, but that's to be expected, isn't it, at this time of year. Otherwise, conditions relatively ideal.
Absolutely. Rob, you and Darren, keep yourselves warm, and we'll catch up with you at 5 to 6 ahead of kickoff. Tony, I'll bring you back in. Many thanks there, Rob, for the latest team news. Few changes in the squad there. What's your views?
Yeah, I don't know. Rick is still learning about his players because obviously he's involved with Peel Football Club and the Ireland squad, so he knows them anyway. But Danny Gerrard, you know, feel for Danny. But Joe Middleton, yes, I think he's definitely worth a start because Duracell, I call him. He just keeps going and going and going because he won't, step down. He won't sort of disappear. He'll just keep chasing you down, which obviously is energy sapping, but Joe is pretty fit. But Carl Clark, I'm delighted to see Carl in because he's been brought back into the squad. And Carl offers so much playing alongside Alex Maitland. And he got a dead leg last week. And evidently, Tuesday, he could still hardly walk. So to get him back into it, it's credit to him. And he's so, so important because set pieces as well, Ben, he offers a lot. You know, because we've got great delivery, Steve Whitley or Charlie Higgins who takes him. And, you know, if Carl can get in that box there, then he can sort of finish off the chances. But all across, it's good to see. It's going to be difficult because of the top side. But FC Isle of Man just get a pointer again of where they are with it. Because against the top side, you sort of accept the defeat a little bit more. But when you're battling against them points at the bottom of the table, against teams that are in there with you, you need to win them on. So, yeah, I wish them well.
Absolutely. Tony, we'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you very much, as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
26 minutes to 6 here on Classifieds. Let's join Dave Christian. Dave Christian, just the one game, and that was in Counties 3, ADM Lancs and Cheshire. Great win for Vagabonds at home. Vagabonds 15, Duckenfield 5.
Yeah, it was, Ben. An excellent result. The results appeared to be on an upward trend ahead of this game. They were picking up bonus points. They were scoring their tries. And they finally culminated with a draw last week away at Hoylake. And they followed up this week in the best possible way with a 15-5 win over Duckenfield. It was an interesting game because the first 20 minutes were scoreless. And I was starting to scratch my head thinking, how am I going to write a match report about this? I'm going to have to start writing down things that nearly happened rather than things that did happen. But as luck would have it, Vagabonds did open up the scoring on the 22nd minute. Duckenfield attempted to clear from just in front of their own post, and the ball was fielded by prop Joe Lowe, who was an unlikely runner in the backfield. Joe took the ball on the full, and he chucked it straight line and hammered it into the Duckenfield defence. And the ball was recycled a couple of times, and Vagas forwards decided they were going to take it on. They got close to the Duckenfield line, and the last man to touch the ball down was Joe Lowe, the fella who'd started the move off in the first place. So congratulations to Joe. That opened up the scoring. But even then, the defences were tight, Duckenfield then managed to get down to the other end. They set up camp inside the Vagas 22. And again, very similar to the Vagabond score, the forwards took it in nice and close. And finally, it was second row Harry Smith who dived over. That was how it stayed until half-time, locked together at 5-5. In the second half, we were expecting some action, but we didn't really get any. The game remained tied 5-5 until 5 minutes from the end. Vagabonds were awarded a penalty. They decided they were going to kick it. Cam Finlay took the kick and missed. However, in rugby union, if there's a penalty awarded and the other team kick for goal, you have to stand still. And one of the Duckenfield players had a sudden rush of sewage to the brain, I think. He decided he was going to try and charge down the penalty kick. Well, of course, Cam Finlay missed, but you can't charge down a penalty kick, so the referee ordered it to be retaken, and Finlay kicked it over the second time, and that put Vagabonds 8-5 in front, with only a few minutes left to play. With the penultimate play of the game, Vagabonds had an attack and scrummage just on the outside of the 22, and they opted to go down the narrow side of the pitch. Dan Bonwick found a gap. He drew Duckenfield fullback, sorry, like again. He drew the fullback and sent a pop pass to his right-hand side where Rob Pease was on his shoulder. And Rob went in to score the try that pretty much secured the game. Cam Finlay put the icing on the cake with a conversion from out wide. And the game was restarted, but the ball fired straight into touch. And that was the end of that. Vagabonds will pick up 4 points for this. No bonus point for them today. They didn't score 4 tries or more. Nothing for Duckenfield. They didn't finish within 7. But Vagas do climb up the table a little bit now. They were next to bottom. They still remain next to bottom, but they've extended the gap now between them and bottom side Ramsey to 7 points. And the two play each other on the 29th. So that's going to be a corker up there at the Murrick Park. But fair play to Vagabonds. They probably just on balance did enough to win that one today. But it really, really was close.
I must say, Dave, the vocabulary of analysis you've just gave us there is absolutely top-notch there. I do love it. Great day, though, for Vagabonds. Definitely the result they were looking for, though.
Oh, for sure, Ben, for sure. They've got a Melia tonight. The players were in a celebratory mood when they were coming off the pitch anyway. The Melia is going to be a lively affair, I would imagine. But, yeah, they've worked very hard. They picked up that draw last week. That's given them the shot in the arm they needed. I did a little backtrack over the Duckenfield selections for the past few weeks. They pretty much had their first team here. They're probably missing one or two players. They had a three-man bench today, but one of them, Phil Smith, was telling me that there were really only two. One of the three was only fit to go on. The other two were there just to make up the numbers. And they're missing their scrum half, I think. Johnny Sculthorpe, he's been in every game so far this season apart from today's. So hopefully Johnny will get back, hopefully if he's not injured. And it's just an availability problem. That'll make Duckenfield probably a tougher team to beat away from home. But that was pretty much what they had today, and Vagabonds did really well. So congratulations to them. They've deserved it for all the work they've been doing.
And looking ahead to next week, Dave, how are fixtures looking for next week?
Douglas are away at Firwood Waterloo. They're the bottom side in Regional 2 Northwest. So they'll be expecting maximum points from that as they continue their push up towards the top. Looking at the fixtures they've had and the fixtures they've got to come, league leaders Sandbach have yet to come to Douglas. And if you remember, Douglas played Sandbach away from home, were leading with about 10 minutes to go and leaked a few tries towards the end, which allowed Sandbach to take the win. Douglas do, however, have to go to North Ribblesdale, so that'll be a tough one for them. But next week, it's bottom side Firwood Waterloo. It is away from home, but Douglas should win that one. Ramsey have Burnley at the Murrick Park. I think that's probably the one we'll be covering for Saturday Live. Burnley up near the top end of the table as I frantically try and bring the league table up. Yeah, Burnley are in third. I suspect that's going to be a lean day for Ramsey. And Vagabonds next week, they have a home fixture against Oldham. That's of Bella Fletcher, obviously, and Oldham are in fourth place, so that might be a tough day for Vagabonds as well. But today, take nothing away from them. They deserve their win, and they will enjoy their celebrations later tonight.
Absolutely. Dave Christian, as always, thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Manx Radio Sport.
19 minutes to 6 here on Classifieds, and let's look at everything that's took place in hockey. And this weekend, league action has took a back seat, and we've had the semi-final stage of the Mixed Cup, the Mixed Play and the Mixed Bowl, and what a few finals we have coming up for you. Let's start in the Mixed Cup, and Bakaze continue their winning form with a 4-1 win over Valkyries A. Elliot Reid, Andy Whiten, Tom Loafen and Jamie Brown all on the score sheet for Bakaze, and Imogen Cook in the score sheet for Valkyries A. Meaning, Bakaze, who would they face from the other semi-final in the final between Castletown Celts and Vikings B? And that is Castletown Celts with a 9-0 win over Vikings B. George Powell with 4, Dulcie Tier with 2, Tom Burrows with 1, Robbie Verlerga with 1 and James Orman with 1. Meaning your Mixed Cup final is going to be between Backers A and Castletown Celts. In the Mixed Plate semi-finals, it was a very, very close affair in our first semi-final between Ramsey A and Backers C. Backers C just coming out on top with a 2-1 win over Ramsey A. Dan Hurd for Ramsey A with Craig Lees and Jack Grimley on the score sheet for Backers C. Meaning Backers C would face the winner of Harlequins B v Valkyries B. And it's the Westerners who will be meeting Backers C in the final with a 3-0 win over Harlequins B. Andrea Little, John, Ali Fipplione and Neil Jacobs on the score sheet for Valkyries B, meaning your final in the Mixed Plate is going to be between Backers C and Valkyries B. In the Mixed Bowl, two very, very close semi-finals here. The first one being at 12:35 at Castle Russian High School between Castletown Camags and Castletown Cosney, with Camags just edging it 1-0. They took the victory with a Rich Tarr strike on goal, meaning Camags would face the winner of the other semi-final, which was between Vikings D and Valkyries D. And that was 1-1 at full time. So we went to penalty flicks, and Vikings D will be heading to the final thanks to a 3-2 victory on flicks. And we have been asked to give James Craig a shout out, a tremendous penalty flick save to give Vikings that final spot. In the Mixed Under-15s leagues, we had three games there, the first being Backers against Valkyries. That was a 4-0 win to Valkyries. Emily Moyer, Rhea Maher, Serge Kell and Evie Martins on the score sheet for Valkyries. Castletown Savers 1, Harlequins 2, Zach Barlow and Aidan Leslie on the score sheet for Harlequins, with Oscar Garaguski on the score sheet for Castletown Savers. And then finally in this league, it was Vikings 6, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 2. Charlie Dorman with 2 goals for Ramsey. And then for Vikings, it was Theo Roberts with 5 and Dylan Pullman with 1. We did have one rearranged fixture in the league action, and that was in Mixed Division 3. And it was a derby between Backers Mixed Colts and Backers D. Backers D coming out a 7-1 victory here. Christian Davies with 2. Kyle Benyon with 2, Dave Neal with 2 and Jason Haswell with 1, and the consolation coming from Backers Mixed Books, Cald Joyce. So that concludes your hockey fixtures there. So just a reminder, your cup final will be between Backers A and Castletown Celts. Your mixed plate final will be between Backers C and Valkyries B. And your mixed bowl final will be between Vikings D and Castletown Camags in the bowl. So that's Castletown Camags v Vikings D. These are due to take place on the 13th of December, and I'm sure we'll definitely try and get on down there to cover the final action for you. But for now, that is all your hockey results.
Manx Radio Sport.
And with the time at 14 minutes to 6, we are going to leave you, as always, with the headlines. In Canada Life Men's Premier League, Union Mills and Rushen couldn't be split, Braddon and Ayr couldn't be split, but Peel got two past St Mary's in a 2-1 victory. In Arden and Drugon Division 2, a 6-goal thriller between Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Castletown, and St George's get a big win 2-0 over Douglas and District. Canada Life Combination 1 wins for Ayr United, Ramsey and Peel. In Arden and Drugon Combination 2, Colby and Malou couldn't be split, a 1-1 draw there. Castletown just lose out to Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys by 4-2. And Paul Rhodes United get 4 past Governors Athletic with 2. St George's get a big win over Douglas and District by 2-1. And Michael United take the victory in the last touch of the game, 3-2 over Moran. In rugby, just the one game today in Counties 3, ADM, Lancs and Cheshire, and a big win at home for Vagabonds. They win by 15-5 over Duncan Field. In hockey, in the Mixed Cup, the final will be between Backers A and Castletown Celts as they progress to the final. In the Mixed Plate semi-final, Backers C just edge it over Ramsey by 2-1, and Valkyries B get the better of Harlequins, meaning your final in the Mixed Plate semi-final is between Backers C and Valkyries B. In the Mixed Bowl, Castletown Camags are heading through to the final where they'll meet Vikings D after Vikings D win on penalty fix thanks to that tremendous save from James Craig. In the Mixed Under 15s League, wins for Valkyries, Harlequins and Vikings. Finally, in that rearranged Mixed Division 3 game, the Backers Derby, Backers D take the glory by 7-1 over Backers Mixed Books. And that concludes full time and classifieds here for Saturday the 15th of November. Thank you as always for your company.